You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Content warning. Nerdbliss is intended for a mature audience.
Guten Tag. This episode contains spoilers for Falcon and Winter Soldier. Hail Hydra.
Spoilers for Falcon and Winter Soldier. How rude.
Coming up on episode 140. Tina and I have finally broken over and gotten HBO Max.
And your primary reason for getting it was what?
I mean, it wasn't the Snyder Cut. It wasn't Mortal Kombat. It wasn't Game of Thrones. It was
Falcon as a superhero. Mm-hmm. I don't really give two about. I never have really liked the character.
So the big question becomes, in this show, who's in recovery?
Yeah, and right after Shang-Chi, we get the Eternals. Who the hell are they?
Well, here's my thing. I've said this before, and I'm going to continue saying it until DC listens. Where they're f***ing up is they're not using their...
All this and more on this episode of Nerdbliss.
Strike wing, standing by the launch.
All stations.
Ready.
Nerdbliss.
It's now online.
Where are we?
This is the power.
We have run 7. Why?
Someone who tries to kill you. You try to kill him right back.
They're still alive.
Damn right, we're still alive. Welcome back, Nerd Blisters, to episode 140 of Nerd Bliss. You know, as the youngsters say, I've been feeling a certain kind of way about things here lately, and the podcast is included. But I'm glad to be back and back to be in the swing of things here. Even if you don't leave a comment, even if you don't engage with us to let us know you're there, even if you don't play our promo, we still love you. But if you do want to interact with us, we do have that call-in line. And who knows, maybe you need to make a phone call. You can definitely use it for that, you know, to get out of a sticky situation. But that number is 864-715-9446. And yeah, say whatever you want. And depending on the content, we might play your message on the show. All right, so we're going to tell you about Falcon and Winter Soldier. There will be spoilers for that, as you heard at the beginning of the episode. I'm going to tell you a little bit about mine and Tina's introduction to HBO Max and what that has been like for us. No guest contributors this time, so without any further ado, let's get into it.
Course navigation locked. Engaging hyperdrive in 3, 2, 1.
Well, Tina and I have finally broken over and gotten HBO Max. And I don't know why it took me so long. I mean, within just a few minutes of logging in, I'm like, how was I not here all this time?
And your primary reason for getting it was what?
All right, now
Amy Sedaris at home.
There you go.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't the Snyder Cut. It wasn't Mortal Kombat. It wasn't Game of Thrones. It was At Home with Amy Sedaris.
It was Princess Carolyn.
Yeah. She's the one ultimately that's responsible.
See, I still remember her. Wasn't she in, wasn't she Jerry Blank in that show? What was the name of that show?
Strangers with Candy.
Oh, yeah. You know, that was so bizarre.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it, but now I'm really tempted.
I never actually watched it either.
Yeah.
It's definitely, yeah. Yeah. You should just to appreciate the scope of her comedic abilities, because she will make you uncomfortable.
Oh, just the Amy Sedaris at home, because it's like a Martha Stewart thing. And there's a lot of moments with some of the characters, because she plays, I don't know, three or four different characters, where you're like, this is both uncomfortable and arousing.
Yeah.
Sounds like a good Saturday night. We get, thanks to her moms, they have the HBO Max account, and so we get to Bogart that, and yeah, that's how I caught up on the Big Bang Theory and Young Sheldon. I'm really the prequel to Big Bang Theory. I'm enjoying that one now, and I'm about to talk myself into watching the Snyder Cut, just because everybody, it's like, again, it's mixed reactions from a lot of folks, but it seems to come with enough praise for me to think, okay, well, let me just go ahead and watch it so I can say I did it. And then I'm trying to think, there was something else that I was going to watch on there and I can't remember what it was. Oh, we watched Godzilla versus Kong. That was really good.
I think I'm going to the theater to see that. Like, I just can't see our little TV and kaiju. No.
Just sit really close. Yeah. Yeah, just get on the floor and watch it. You know, like, I mean, that's what worked when you're a kid. You know, you got to sit on the floor and look up at the TV screen. See,
depending how far away you keep your phone from your face, you have that same perspective. You know,
get one of those VR headsets to put your phone in and put your earbuds in, and it's like, whoa. Yeah. But yeah, Godzilla.
That could work.
Godzilla versus Kong was a really another strong. I don't think there's been a bad movie yet from that franchise. Have y'all seen any of them so far?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. We
love them.
Yeah. We saw, King of Monsters was the last one. Well, Kong Skull Island we saw. And then the two Godzilla movies.
Mm-hmm. Well, originally I wasn't sure if that Kong was going to play into the new MonsterVerse, but apparently it is. And it's actually very well done. I was tripping, and it's a really neat, it's a really neat addition to the franchise. I think they could, I'm not going to say they should go making, 70 or 80 movies like, the old Toho films, but I think they could easily get, 7 or 8 films out of it and not suck. So.
Yeah. We were holding out on that one. I haven't, I'm probably at some point going to watch Mortal Kombat. I don't know that Tina has any interest in that at all. I mean, just to see, I mean, honestly, the last Mortal Kombat movies we had is a very low bar to clear.
I had a coworker tell me the new one was actually a lot better than the old ones. And the reason being, because it doesn't try to be something it's not. And it doesn't go in there with any like weird pretension or anything like that. So it's not trying to be deep. It's just trying to get the basic story out of the way. And he says it's pretty good. I haven't watched it yet, but I don't know if Colton's wanting to watch it or not. We might watch it.
Let's see what else. I mean, we have the opportunity now to watch Game of Thrones, which I don't know.
I probably won't. I watched the one scene with a coworker where Pedro Pascal gets his head crushed. And I was kind of like, yeah, I mean.
Yeah. I'm not interested enough in that kind of fantasy, I don't think, to go there.
I have to really, I mean, Lord of the Rings, because it was so fantastical, it's a little different. But Game of Thrones is kind of like, it's sort of like a soap opera for, LARPers. And I'm like, I get it. It's what it is, but, and don't get me wrong. I like a little violence and nudity as much as the next person. I just don't like to have to sit through all the bull crap to get to it. So we haven't really gone down the path of discussing our Falcon and Winter Soldier, which I think is a good addition to our Disney Plus/Marvel.
And we should.
I was not all that excited about it. I was not all that excited about it when I first heard about it, because I've always been more, you know, Iron Man than Captain America. I was always Team Tony. Captain America was always, okay, whatever. But I will say the prospect of taking these two characters, which both in the comic books have at one point or another served as Captain America, and putting them in a show and making us wait till that last little stretch to see who's actually going to be the one that takes the mantle up. Mm-hmm. That was pretty good. Falcon as a superhero, I don't really give two shits about. I never have really liked the character. However, Sam as a person in that series became such a strong character, and Bucky too, for that matter. But seeing the development of them as humans and not heroes was so freaking awesome. And at that point, so at first I was like, well, I kind of wanted Bucky to be Captain America because the comics I read were more Bucky was Cap. By the time I had started reading, so that was what I associated with. But as I got closer and closer to the end there, I was like, okay, I'm okay with it, either one of these guys at this point, just because I'm starting to see. I love the inclusion of I think of him as the voice of John Jones from Justice League, who played the black super soldier. Oh, what was his name?
Carl Lumley as Isaiah Bradley.
You know who I'm talking about, right?
Oh, okay.
I can't remember the name.
Yeah. Right. The guy that they spoiler warning, right. They put the statue
and
up
Sam,
at the end.
Sam tried to get through to him, and he was kind of bitter and stuff at the first. He's such a good actor.
Tears at that moment.
I mean, he also plays John Jones's father in Supergirl, in the Supergirl TV show. And he does such a killer job. And just a tearjerker in every freaking role he's ever been in. And so, yeah, I love him. What I really liked was, I like how we got to see that. I guess that for one, Captain America is obviously not a man. It's an idea. It's a concept. It's the mantle. The shield is a symbol for supposedly everybody. And I think it was really cool how they went down that dark path of, well, maybe it's not for everybody. And this is why. And we need to make it for everybody. And this is why.
And the speech that Sam gave to the, what was the, I forget the name of the
congressman or whatever.
Yeah. The United Nations people, whatever they were called at that point. Yeah. Very moving.
Yeah, they did not like cloak that in any sort of metaphor or like this is another universe. Like, literally, I'm a black man in America. Shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
Like, how do you expect me to trust you?
Well, I wasn't sure what to expect of this series. And it did feel a little slow in the beginning. I mean, I've always liked Sam Wilson. Bucky, I don't know. I always felt like, I don't know. I never really got over the whole Winter Soldier, you know, agent for Russia thing. I never felt like he would have been good as Captain America. And I realize he was in the comic books. I get that. But when I saw the costume, is this Sam Wilson's Captain America costume, I just about flipped. I'm like, that is so cool.
Yeah, they did a good job translating that. And if you see if you watch the behind the scenes thing that they have,
not yet. I'm so far behind on those.
they show you how they kind of did a little CGI just to kind of neaten up the where it like hit his face and stuff a certain way so that the fabric would what?
That's just hilarious.
About
CG
what?
Makeup?
That they CGI his face?
Well, no, to make the so that the like the when he turned his head and then the mask would kind of open up, they would do it so that it would stay on his face and it wouldn't look like So it would look like some, you know, high tech mm-hmm. otherworldly type fabric and stuff. But yeah, they went into that fine detail. I was expecting almost there towards the end. I was not sure if we were going to see, what was his name? Lopez is it, or Torres. He was, the guy who was working with Sam, the army guy, who he gave the mm-hmm. wings to.
Mm. Gotcha.
Because he in the comic books, he actually that character took up the mantle of Falcon for a while, and so mm-hmm. I was wondering if we were going to see, you know, maybe Sam just go straight Captain America, and this dude was going to be like the new Falcon or something. I wasn't sure if that was where they were hitting it or not. And I get what you're saying about Bucky. I think the big thing about Bucky and is that, you know, Captain America, Steve Rogers, believed in Bucky as much as he did Sam in some ways. And I think that was the thing that made that so confusing in the beginning. It's like, oh God, which way are they going to go with this? Because he really legitimately had this trust in both of them that even after what Bucky had been through, he still saw something in him. He was like totally Luke Skywalker to Vader. You know, there's still good in you, that sort of thing.
I guess for me that it was evident through the whole series that Bucky did not believe in himself. He was carrying this guilt, which he dealt with. And, you know, I'm sure we'll bring up the book at some point. So I guess, I don't know, being somebody who kind of absorbs the energy he's around, that lack of confidence made me not like him as Captain America, I guess. I mean, I don't dislike him as a character, and I like that he's free of his conditioning, and that he's a person now and not this robot. But
and on the other flip side of that coin, when John Walker comes in, Mr. Cocky, Mr. you know, douchebag America, I don't know if y'all know this, but he got death threats. The actor got death threats.
Isn't that some shit?
Yeah, isn't that wild? It's like, oh my God. I mean, well, you know, you're playing the part right if you get
exactly,
you know, if you've got mm-hmm. people like wishing you're dead. So yeah, he, I think he did a marvelous job of pulling off John Walker.
Captain Walker America was, from Wish. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I was going to say great value, great value cap. And I like what they did with the costume at the end. They made the costume look a lot like the comic book costume with the white stripes and the, mm-hmm. and stuff. So yeah, it's interesting to see him develop. And I know there was a lot of, I'm using the air bunnies for people who can't see, a lot of outrage over the shield death decapitation scene. You know, there were a lot of parents saying, I can't believe Disney Plus, showed that. Well, they didn't really show it. You know, I mean, it was implied. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was blood, but it's not the first time we've seen blood. It was a
brute. That particular show, it's not for little kids.
No.
Yeah. I cannot imagine kids still being invested in the show at that point. I mean, I guess they could, but I mean, kids are smarter than I think we were at their age, but I don't know.
Right. But these are the same, this is the same caliber of parent that, you know, complained because they're, you know, because they let their kid watch Sausage Party. I'm just saying it's they're out there. And my thinking is anytime you have a superhero show or anything brought to live action, there's going to be violence. I mean, we can't get around that. And yeah, that scene was a little brutal, but it was nowhere. I mean, it could have been a lot worse. We didn't see a head roll away. We didn't see, anything that was, what I would consider to be super graphic, but the rage was there. And if anything, it's kind of like when Kylo Ren in the Star Wars movies threw his little tantrum and cut his computer screens up and, mm-hmm. and slashed his wall and threw his little incel rage. it's the same kind of thing. And you know, but hey, this guy's literally taking this symbol of justice and he's over, pardon the pun, overkill, on this guy, who's a terrorist or whatever, or perceived terrorist. And it's, it was a hard scene to watch, but I can't say that I really felt like it was out of bounds or anything like that.
Well, I feel like that scene was exactly what it needed to be. It was horrifying. It's supposed to be horrifying. And I think kids are able to process that. And again, they didn't show enough to, in my opinion anyway, they didn't show enough to give kids any nightmares.
Yeah.
I mean, I've mentioned this on the show before. When I was 5 years old and I saw Obi-Wan Kenobi get killed on the movie screen, that messed with me. I don't want to say I'm okay. I'm pretty messed up, but.
Okay. You know. But what percentage of the parents that are mad about that have been voting for people that have made sure that we've been at war for over 20 years? So
right.
I don't want to hear from you about the superhero right. show that's addressing the trauma of war and PTSD
yeah,
and how right. it's bothering your children.
I guess where I was trying to go and probably didn't do it very well is we've had scenes in movies like this all along. That were shocking and you had to process them, but they weren't.
And it's a safe place to process.
Mm-hmm. And I think that it gave us a clear indication of just how, obviously how different Walker was from Rogers, but it was a wake up call for us as well as, I think Sam, that this guy is clearly unfit to take this position. And so this makes you step up. And I think that's kind of a metaphor for what we see every day. I mean, whether it's violence against trans persons or if it's a racial thing, I think we have a responsibility to step up and tell people I saw it as kind of almost a scream out to police brutality. Because it very much to me sounded like or appeared like it was metaphor for, okay, this guy went too far. He was in a position of power. He went too far. What do we do about it? Well, we take his badge away or his shield away, because he doesn't need to have that anymore.
Well, when, he busted in when Sam was trying to talk to the girl, I always forget her name because it's a really mundane name.
Yeah.
The Flag Smasher.
I remember as Infant Nest in the Solo movie.
Erin Kellyman as Carly Morgenthau. Come on, guys, do your homework.
Is that not just like a no-knock warrant? Like, he just busted in, guns blaring, unnecessarily. There was no imminent danger and put her in danger right. and on the defensive.
Well, and that same thoughtless, machismo laden, recklessness was also what got his buddy killed. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's why Lamar's dead, you know,
so. How are you going to kill somebody named Battlestar? Come on now. That's just, I mean, I both thought that was corny and cool at the same time. When I found out his name was Battlestar, I'm like, oh, okay, all right. But something that Tina pointed out, and again, I mentioned the book earlier.
Right.
Tina, did you want to bring that up? I was just gonna, you know, mention. Yeah.
So the big question becomes, not just in this show, but in the writer's room, who's in recovery? Because Bucky was running around making amends and keeping a list of people that he owed amends to. And then we had Cap in the meeting in one of the Civil War movies. Yeah, somebody, who is it?
Yeah, I mean, or somebody either is or knows somebody.
But Cap, I don't appreciate the crosstalk. That is not appropriate. We don't do that.
If recovery people get that one. So, yeah.
I thought the book was interesting, and I'm glad that he finally crossed the last name off his list. I think that humanizes Bucky a little bit, and that's one of the things that I appreciated what they did with him. Is I think today he finally was able to get his humanity back, and hopefully no more nightmares.
See, at that point, now of course Sam had already become Captain America, but at that point with Bucky, I was like, okay, he's ready. He's ready. I'm sorry, Tina. Okay, you were about to say something.
Last scene with them staring at the water, and then the arm around the shoulder. Marvel is trolling the homophobes, and I am here for it.
You're talking about Bucky and Sam.
Yes,
Hulk, with arm around the shoulder, looking out on the water. Yeah. Do you ship it, Nerdless listeners? Do you ship it?
Yes, ship.
Personally, I don't give a shit either way. It's grand if they do. It's grand if they don't. But it makes shippers happy. And it pisses off the homophobes. Yes.
I think we should all be okay with the Winter Falcon.
Yes.
Most definitely. Most definitely.
I mean, they definitely, I will say one thing that I liked about, they totally bromanced it through the whole show. It was like watching a more interesting version of something like a Lethal Weapon movie or something. It was like, I mean, it took all the things that were good about those kind of movies and amped it up. And I thought that was really, there was more heart there and all that, but there was also that, that kind of brotherly fucking with each other the whole time.
And Bucky really was too old for that shit.
Yeah.
True. Yeah, the banter, the buddy cop thing was a welcome surprise. I didn't expect it, and I loved it.
Oh, yeah, when they're talking about wizards and sorcerers and
yeah, and just like clearly having that affection for each other and having that joint relationship of they both loved Steve Rogers so much.
Well, that was really the glue through the whole series. Is I think every character, all the main characters had some strong tie to Steve, whether it be legitimate adoration or reluctant in the case of like Zemo. I mean, I think Zemo shined in that show, honestly.
Oh, more than he did in Civil War. My God.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, we got to see Zemo with his classic mask on, and we got to see, him being Zemo. But at the same time, in some of those scenes, I'm thinking, he ain't wrong. I mean, that's it's amazing where he was. They were taking his character, and I mean, the fact that he didn't put up any more of a fight than he did when the ladies from Wakanda came and put his ass in cuffs.
Well, yeah. Come on. You going to fight that?
Hell no.
Oh, my God. How exciting did you get? And I'm afraid to use a metaphor here, but how excited did you get when the Dora Milaje whooped John Walker's ass?
Oh, it's glorious.
Goodness. Yeah.
That was one of my favorite fight scenes, especially when the one, boom, got the shield. And it's like, uh-oh. Could this be a foreshadowing?
One of the most spectacular ass whoopings ever witnessed in the Atlantic.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that was
And Zemo was like sitting in the back, like having a cocktail. Like, this is cool.
He's like, I ain't even gonna try. Yeah, it was, that was really, I thought also, Julia Louis-Dreyfus did a really good job of coming in there, and I was not super familiar with her character. I had to go back and remind myself who she was, because I had totally forgotten who Contessa was.
Now, according just a footnote, according to our good friend JT Wheatley, she was supposed to have appeared in Black Widow already.
Yeah.
Before we saw this.
Yeah, that was my understanding.
Anyway, well, you were saying.
Yeah, and I thought they did a good job of being able to weasel her in there, you know, to make her familiar already.
Time to grab your pillow and join the Geek Father in Little Bit for discussions on current, nostalgic, and speculative happenings in pop culture. Nerd news, fandom histories, deep dive discussions, reviews, and more. It's like listening to your closest friends have a nerdy conversation. So sit back, relax, and let the Blurred Nerds podcast embrace you with their warm, goofy goodness. It's Nerd Goals for your ear holes, right here on the ESO Network.
Everyone these days could use a little support, and your friends at the ESO Network are no different. With the ESO Network Patreon, the cool thing is when you help support us, it's you who will benefit. With four tiers starting for as little as 25 cents a week, you can listen to some of your favorite network podcasts early, hear exclusive content, maybe get some ESO swag, or even possibly take a shot at the geek seat. All you need to do is sign up at patreon.com/ESO Network.
Question I have after seeing this and WandaVision is like, okay, I'm wondering, did they do anything? And I guess we won't know until we see it. But is Black Widow going to somehow gel with this to the point where, I mean, I still have some theories about what might be going to happen in Black Widow, as far as maybe we might get a new Black Widow in the form of her sister with the bear bunnies. Mm-hmm. I've got some ideas. I'm just kind of wondering how it's all going to come together, because that's one of the things that I've really appreciated about everything they've done so far with the Disney Plus additions and the TV shows, is they have done just a splendid job of just mashing it all together and make that continuity even like more cohesive.
Yeah, Black Widow is another one that I'm not sure what to expect. Of course, this is Marvel. We're going to get reveals. We're going to get surprises. Same thing with Shang-Chi. Looks like a great movie. Have no idea what to expect. Which I think is the best way to go into a Marvel movie, if I'm being completely honest.
And see, he's a character. Who the hell is he? You know, it's like, well, I mean, I remember exactly. He was at one point, I remember him being in an Iron Fist comic. I mean, I can't remember exactly what his deal was. I don't even really remember a whole lot about him. So I'm going into it kind of fresh, because I didn't follow mm-hmm. some of the characters that he was associated with. So I'm not super keen on who he is. So I'm just going to go into it like, okay, well, introduce me.
Well, and I want to say, you know, the last time Marvel took a chance on this, you know, making a movie where we were like, who the hell are these people, was right. Guardians of the Galaxy. And look where we are with that.
So I was so skeptical, but now I'm like, you do whatever, because a fucking space raccoon in a tree.
Yeah, and right after Shang-Chi, we get the Eternals. Who the hell are they? You know, it's going to be interesting. It is. So,
yeah, the next phase is going to be all these C and D list folks that we'll just never know who the hell they are till we see them. And my guess is, if Marvel continues to do what they've been doing, which is putting enough of their own stank on it while being somewhat true to the origins, where the fans are going to be the deeper running fans are going to be the most attentive. I think that's going to be, they have a chance to either make something really special out of something that's not or, you know, it could be a, hopefully, I mean, look, what gets me is, here's the thing. We got DC taking the Justice League and taking Batman and taking all these other potentially huge franchises and just fucking up so bad. And then, you know, Marvel just keeps, Marvel has not made a bad movie yet. I mean, they've made some that are better, you know, not as good as others, but I can't say there's one single Marvel movie that Disney has made yet for the MCU that has been bad.
Yeah. The weakest ones are the ones that are sort of connective tissue for the whole universe, like Thor: The Dark World.
Yep.
That's the worst thing you can say about them, is they don't stand on their own. And I did want to mention, as we were talking about Marvel things to look forward to, Miss Marvel, who is a teenager from Jersey, happens to be a young Muslim girl. I've read a few issues of her comic and they kick ass. So I'm looking forward to that.
Yep. 2023, I believe we get the next, we get her in, well, it's called The Marvels.
Yeah.
And I'm just wondering how many people with the word Marvel in their name can they squeeze into that movie? Because there's so many. I saw a thread on Facebook about that the other day. It's like, you know, and there's Mary Marvel and Marvel this and Marvel that. But yeah, but anyway, I'm
well, and remember that
chasing a rabbit here.
Originally, Shazam was Captain Marvel.
Yeah,
that was a big, you know, butting of the heads of the two.
Now, I'm glad we mentioned DC, because the next, as far as I know, the next DC joint we're getting is Suicide Squad again, which, okay. If you're DC, I guess you can do Suicide. That. Okay, we'll just make this movie again and see what happens. It looks good.
What do you think about the trailer? I think it's going to be more fun than the first one. I think Sly Stallone as the big dim-witted King Shark is on the Flash. Yeah. Well, here's the thing: on the Flash, King Shark is actually, I mean, he's kind of primal, but he's still sort of sentient and has some higher thinking, whereas it looks like Stallone's King Shark's going to be kind of like, just a big galoot, you know what I mean?
Like an ogre.
I love the scene where he just eats the guy. Did you see that? He just puts the guy in his mouth and just like,
oh yeah,
it's just like, wow, really, we just did that? That is, yeah. And I was gonna say, we've got, who else is in there?
It's like Nathan Fillion is in it,
isn't it? Polka Dot Man. I was going to say, somebody plays Polka Dot Man. I can't remember who it was.
Pretty sure James Michael Rooker's in it, because James Gunn does not make a movie without Rooker.
Right. And, you know, and our 12th Doctor, Peter Capaldi, is going to be the Thinker.
Yep.
He's a version of the Thinker, who's one of our Flash villains. So that'll be kind of interesting to see how. But really, there aren't that many big names on that one either. That's going to be a lot of who the hell is that?
Well, yeah, we've got John Cena as Peacemaker, who is already, they're already making his own series on HBO Max.
Oh, wow. And he's described that character as just a douchey Captain America.
Oh, do yourself a favor and look up the clip where he was on Colbert's show a few weeks back. He was in the Peacemaker costume because he was zoomed in from the actual set.
Yeah.
And he was so funny.
Yeah, I'm kind of looking forward to that one. I'm excited. I'm more excited about that one than I am. Have they got the brakes thrown on the new Batman movie, the Twilight Batman movie?
Good question. I don't know. I have not been keeping up with that.
I've heard anything from a long time.
Do we need another Batman movie? like, why? See,
all right. That's a good question. That is a great question. I said the same thing about Sonic the Hedgehog, and I like that movie. If I'm true to myself, I love that movie more than I have any right to.
But we haven't seen like six reboots of Sonic.
True.
And it told a, I mean, I know it's not a brand new story because it's kind of Sonic X, but they told it different. If I have to see Bruce Wayne's parents get killed in an alley again, I swear to fucking God.
Well, here's my thing. Okay, Marvel, I've said this before, and I'm going to continue saying it till DC listens. DC, hashtag DC. The one thing that works with Marvel is that the shit, for the most part, is interchangeable between the cinematic and television universe. It's all part of that same mesh. Whereas DC, you know, and I'm not saying that Ezra, what's his face, didn't do a decent job in his contribution to Justice League, because I hear he's pretty good. And I know he was actually guest star on The Flash as the alternate universe Flash, and he did a marvelous job. I thought he was a really funny kid. Mm-hmm. But where they're fucking up is they're not using their proven talent in some of these characters that have established themselves on TV. I think the dude who plays Superman in the Superman and Lois show, who came from the Supergirl show, is far better than... I mean, I love Brandon Routh's interpretation of Christopher Reeve. I love Christopher Reeve. Henry Cavill, okay, but not as good as he could have been. If this guy from this TV show would have been the Man of Steel on the big screen, you'd have saw a little different, response, I think, because he plays the part so much better. I think that they're really screwing up by not taking, again, Batman. Why don't they take some of our folks from the Gotham TV series? That series was again, it was one of those that took a while to get really, really hot, but there the last couple seasons, it was written out as it was intended. It didn't get canceled. It was a good running series. There's a lot of room to work with that. The only person and by the time they would make it, you probably could cast the kid that played Bruce in that, because he'd be old enough to play a young Batman. I think he would do the part every bit as good as Pattinson for this other movie. But I loved Sean Pertwee as Alfred. That he is my favorite Alfred of all time. Mm-hmm. And they have so much good that they could do with that. But they, you know, until they learn that lesson, until they start putting their universes together and making them into one big mesh, they're going to keep having troubles, I think.
Well, we had some conversations with our Fall Horseman friends the other day, and because they're big DC fans as well. And one of the things that the DC movies really have going against them right now, well, first of all, DC has this problem of we get invested in these characters that we see on the television shows, and then we have to go get invested in something completely different when we go to the movies. I feel like they're really shooting themselves in the foot with that. But the other problem that DC is having is Warner Brothers is they get all in the business of those directors, and they want them to know that they are the ones that are in charge and that they have control of the content, even at the expense of the story and the characters. And yeah, there was, I can't remember what it was that came out recently. Maybe it was one. I don't think it was Wonder Woman 84. It was one of the recent DC movies, and the director came out and says, "Yeah, Warner Brothers was all in my shit. I couldn't make my movie." I don't know. Maybe, I don't know if it was Birds of Prey. I don't know. It was one of them.
Yeah, I can't remember, but I remember reading something of that nature, though. Mm-hmm. And yeah, and that's and Warner Brothers is, I guess that's one thing that Disney's doing right, is like they put a few guidelines on things, but they still put it in the hands of competent people,
right?
Mm-hmm. To do the stories and to do the screenplays. I mean, that's being proven constantly with all their new content.
Well, it's a big collaboration. I mean, I know a bunch of the Stan Lee cameos were all shot under James Gunn, even though they went in a bunch of different movies. And I don't know. I mean, that's, filmmaking is collaborative, not like somebody in charge, and certainly not somebody that, like, should be just holding the checkbook and, like, just being congratulated at the end, you know?
See, right. But even with Marvel, you're right. It is collaborative. There's a lot of hands in that recipe, in that pie. With DC, I don't feel like there's this cohesive, this is what we want to do and this is the track we want to take. It just feels so disjointed. And I feel like that kind of to try and differentiate themselves from Marvel, they're trying to own this multiverse thing and say, oh, well, this is our thing. We're just going to just do whatever we want. It's just a different universe. I don't think that's paying off. I just don't. Mm-mm. We've talked about and bitched and moaned about DC so much on this show, but there you go. Just like the old times. But anyway. Yeah.
Well, I'm just saying Marvel got the recipe. That's all that I'm saying. Another franchise that's doing really good at pushing everything together is, I mean, look at what Star Wars has done. I don't know if you guys have watched Bad Batch yet.
I was going to mention it. I haven't seen it yet. Because I'm not sure that, I mean, Tina, you're welcome to watch it with me if you want to.
You don't. Let me just kinda, go ahead and say you don't have to have finished the Clone Wars to appreciate it. It helps because you know a little bit about who these guys are, what they've been through a little bit. You get a little bit of their personalities, but you can go into it completely cold and still get the gist of the backstory enough to enjoy it. And I'm going to tell you that first episode, I was like, oh, come on. I mean, it was a 70-minute episode, but I was like, no, come on, a little bit more. It did a really good job. And when I say it ties a lot of things together. I mean, we're talking about prequel movies, OT, a few comic book arcs. My son was really tripping balls when one of his favorite comic/Rebels characters gets a few scenes in it. So
interesting.
So yeah, you'll dig it. I'm just saying you're going to dig it. Plus, we get introduced to a different kind of clone, a slightly different kind of clone, which we don't know anything about yet. But it's going to make you raise your eyebrows.
Mini me.
No, much more diverse. That would be hilarious. That would be hilarious, though. Okay.
R.I.P. Vern Troyer.
Yeah. Anyway. Well, when you're introduced to this individual, right, you'll be like, oh, so what the hell is this all about? And so strange things are afoot on Kamino, let's put it that way. And the Empire is not doing itself any favors.
Right.
But I recommend it highly. And I hope we can have some episodes or an episode talking about it once it gets good and cranked up, because I think it's every bit. It feels maybe even a little more mature than the Clone Wars, and which, I mean, the Clone Wars had some lighthearted stuff, but it also had some really deep stuff. This is like the deeper Clone Wars stuff, all the way. It's a cinematic experience almost. It's really thick pretty quick.
Nerd Bliss has arrived at Planet Iskandar. Primary drive disengaging. Begin disembarkation protocol.
All right, everyone. Thank you so much for listening. If you've got thoughts on Falcon and Winter Soldier or DC and all that other stuff we talked about, HBO Max or anything really, definitely let us know. You can leave a comment on this episode on our website, nerdblisspodcast.com. You can leave a comment on our social media outlets. We are on all of the socials with the handle @NerdBlissPod, including TikTok now. Probably going to put something on TikTok about this episode also. You can email us at NerdBlissPod@gmail.com. That is always an option as well. And of course, what we think is the best way for you to reach out to us is our call-in line. And that is a line that always goes to voicemail. We're not going to answer and make it weird. But that number is 864-715-9446. Leave us a message. You can text that number as well if you're really, really super bashful like me. And depending on the content of that message, we may very well read or play that message on the show. All the music in Nerd Bliss is used with appropriate permissions and licensing. Our theme song is a modified version of Hyperdrive by Jens Kilstofta and is licensed to us for use by Machinima Sound. Thank you once again for listening to Nerd Bliss. Nerd Bliss is a part of the ESO Network and a product of 4 Foot One Media.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping at the TeePublic store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Play my promo.